listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, live, live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr.
Good
Michael
evening
Kelly
and welcome
and
to the Spirit
Vicky
of Life
Hunter.
Program for Wednesday, June 26th. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicky Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. As always, glad to be here on This is the Last Wednesday of June. We are halfway through the year.
I know. And I believe we just had our summer solstice. Am I correct in that?
We did so. Last, what day was it? Friday?
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah, the 21st, wasn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
This year's gone by very quick. But so happy to have you with us. So happy to have our live listeners in chat. Always appreciate seeing you. Always appreciate your contributions. And, of course, we appreciate those that catch up with us in the archives as well. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So tonight we're going to have another bit of an open chat. You know, if you have any thoughts, questions, throw them in the chat if you're a live listener here. I know we have a couple of things we're going to touch on. And Dr. Vicky, I think you said you were pretty much going to talk most of the night, right?
I almost forgot to unmute myself when I was laughing there, Michael. let's start out with Dr. Kevin's remark in the chat already.
Well,
he's asking if everyone read this week's Student Weekly Update. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Quantum physics suggests death doesn't exist, and it's probably just an illusion. Now, that is partly from an article out of Nature, Team Science, Nature, New Science, and Nature from February of this year. And it's claims by Dr. Robert Lanza. And yeah, he wrote a book on biocentrism. Boy, that was a tongue twister. Life and consciousness are the keys to understanding nature and the universe. So if you haven't caught up with your newsletter, it takes you to the article, and you can have a read. It's good, unless you want to add something to that, Michael.
No, I think it's very good. And, you know, Dr. Kevin also pointed out it's good, hot, and humid. And this time of year, the heavily hot weather, especially in here in the South, really makes you think about life and death a lot more than you do prior. I can tell you that much.
Yeah.
But, you know, I had to do a little work on my air conditioner. Nothing major. I had to do some maintenance on the evaporator coil so I could get it humming again. That really makes you appreciate the modern conveniences of life.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Absolutely.
You know, I just, a little aside, there was this article going around online. It was, I think, from the Daily Mail, one of the more provocative UK publications there. They were talking about a heat wave of I think they said 26 degrees Celsius, and I know it came out to 78 degrees Fahrenheit was their heat wave in the UK. And I get it. You know, they're not used to high temperatures, but come on. That's what they tell you to set your AC to in Florida. But I tell
you, for the record, it was last week, the week before, it was 55 Celsius in Mexico.
Mm.
It's already, it's going to Fahrenheit, 125 in places in California.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and it's true, Michael, it's whatever we're accustomed to.
Exactly.
You know, if you're not used to it, it can be, you know, quite a shake up to the body.
Absolutely.
Let alone the mind.
So. And such a perfect analogy. I think analogy, right? Not metaphor. Analogy. Yeah, analogy. Perfect analogy for facing adversity. You know, it's why it's so difficult to really compare your pain, your adversity, your struggle with somebody else, because it's about what you're used to. You know, these days in this modern era, there's so many people that express unhappiness, yet if you pulled somebody from 200 years ago into the future, into the modern era, especially in the West, they would be just flabbergasted that we would have any problems at all.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
they had much more, I'm not going to say primitive, primal concerns, life and death, infant mortality, you have 10 kids, 5 of them die, you know, struggle to find nutrition and caloric intake. It was just a different world. But we've managed to find adversity even in this modern world of wonder. Of course, climate change is a concern. And another interesting tidbit, it is actually much more efficient and climate-friendly to cool a place as opposed to heating a place. Mm. So you guys are really the cause of climate change up in Canada with all your heating bills. That's my take. Joking, of course.
Yeah, Michael likes to blame us for everything.
I do, only because it's fun and you're obviously not responsible for really, you know, any of the dark things in life. Well,
you know, and I got to tell you, even adversity, but even unconscious stress.
Mm, yes.
When you don't know you're stressed, you think you're fine, but you're stressed and your body's going to tell you, even if you're not reading it right. So I went away for a few days to a friend. Oh, boy, did I get to zen out. It was wonderful. And then I come back and suddenly I don't feel very well. And I went, so I'm describing it as mentally hyperactive, but physically oppressed. You know, because for the record, everybody, I have to move, find a place to live by September. And so I'm downsizing, I'm packing, and I'm doing stuff. And you don't fully realize to the degree that that plays a stress on the body. So I'm having to catch up with myself today and have a little talk and maybe change my attitude. It's like, well, okay, the body and I have to get a little bit of rest.
Always important.
And change our attitude.
Absolutely. And it's just another example of how intertwined the mind and body are. You know, your thoughts become the physical affect the thoughts.
Yeah.
It's all intertwined. Another shout out from chat. Dr. Zach, always love to see you. He pointed out that there's a town, Casadega. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Casadega?
That's a good one. Casadega. That's probably the right way. Casadega, Florida, town of psychic people, apparently close to Vorx. I'm not familiar with either of those places, but the interior of Florida is a big mystery. Everything's on the coasts, and when you go into the interior, if you have to cross states, it's like you're in Iowa. A lot of cornfields and a lot of cows. So I don't know if it's a place in the interior, but no, I've actually never heard of him, but a town of psychic people. That's interesting. I definitely would not fit in. I'm like the least psychic person I know.
Oh, don't sell yourself short.
But... very interesting.
Damien says 50-some residents, AAA ran an article on it. Oh, interesting.
Very interesting.
Check that out, Michael.
Yeah, it
Maybe
is worthy
you
of looking
for
up.
A drive.
Maybe it'd be very interesting, huh? Mm. All kinds of interesting stuff, you know. And that's another thing, you know, when life throws adversity at you, latch onto something that brings you joy. For me, the mystery. The mystery of everything. So many unknowns. That
now you got to go to Casadega.
Yeah, I have to. I'm sure they're going to have a gift shop. I could get souvenirs for everybody.
You know,
life goals.
Oh, Dr. Jerry, she's put a comment in the chat.
I saw that.
her conundrum tonight. No one believes in Atlantis because there's no scientific evidence. Yet people don't have a problem believing in a god that hasn't been scientifically proven either. She goes, how is that? Oh, Jerry.
There's probably not a lot of overlap, though. I think if you are an atheist, you're probably not likely to be an Atlantis believer. Agnostic, yes. But atheist, no. And then dogmatic Christian, a little bit of maybe. A little bit more doubtful, a little bit more skeptical on anything that's non-dogmatic, I think, but a little bit more open to it.
There's a very little critical thinking, and you stop, you know, really analyze it. You know, you can believe in angels, but not spirits. Mm-hmm. You know, you can...
I'm sorry. Go on.
No, you can believe in an immaculate conception, but you can't believe in aliens having created hybrids.
Yeah, I know, really. And that's the thing. You know, there are a lot of things I don't find to be very plausible, but you can't say they're impossible. You have to keep an open mind, and you also have to admit that you could be wrong. I have no idea how many things I'm wrong about right now. It's going to come out eventually, but I'm doing my best. By the way, Dr. Zach said it's close to a vortex, not a town called Forks. I misread. So thank you for that. But no, Dr. Jerry, it's a good point. And I have so many interesting thoughts on Atlantis. I don't go with typically the dogmatic. What is it, Madame Blavatsky or something along those lines? Anyway, I don't really go with that. But I think there's a lot of interesting things there. I think it's a fascinating subject. Even the lore that is, you know, typically dogmatic of what, you know, the ancient society, the technology, it's fascinating. I love reading about it. It makes you excited to think about things, what could have been. But it's good stuff. I love it all. And
is about keeping an open mind.
What's that?
It is about keeping an open mind.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I could be wrong. You know, that's the whole point. That's the whole point. But and that's the other thing. You know, Mike says to each their own, I think, in regards to religion or something along those lines. But and that's another thing. There are some things that resonate with people, and there are certain things that don't. But there are so many different perspectives in the world that we are kind of locked into our unique perspective. You know, it's kind of missing out, I've always thought. I have one measly perspective to see the world, and it's mine. It's like, I know I'm not getting the full picture.
Well, Dr. Jerry has added, believing in both Atlantis and a deity is a personal choice that reflects your openness to different possibilities and narratives. It doesn't necessarily make you different. It shows that you have a diverse set of interests and a willingness to explore various aspects of human belief and mythology.
Yeah, well said.
So, but again, people like to feel like they're in control.
Yeah.
Like we all do. And that's part of why we get stressed, you know, when we mm-hmm. don't feel like we have control. Oh, you know, attitude adjustment. But it's, you know, you take what your parents say, you take what these other people say, and, you know, when we're very young, and it's, okay, that's the way this works. That's the way you do that. I watched, and I know this sounds silly, but I watched a girl across the street shoveling snow in the winter, and I went, oh, there's a way easier way to do this.
Letting it melt in the summer, I know.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, she's doing it her way, and I went, who am I to go over and say, you know, if you do this. But, again, it's... Everybody has their own way of doing stuff.
It's tricky, you know, and it's a fine line. There, it is difficult to know when to offer advice. And, you know, generally the rule is with adults, you don't offer unsolicited advice. And with kids, it's only if you're kids. You know, you don't just go to random kids and say, you're doing that wrong. No, you just, you know, you're kids and if you're a teacher and stuff like that. But as an adult, it's very difficult. You know, there are times where, you know, people have come up to me and said, hey, have you tried doing it this way? And I appreciate it because, hey, that way you just recommended it is way better. I like that.
Totally.
But it is hard to know when, and it's hard to, it's hard to also, you know, think about from your perspective. I think you can maybe, and if the time is appropriate, you have to use your judgment. If you have a bit of a friendly relationship, you can offer a suggestion and then let it go after that. You know,
well, I think it's also, how well your friendship is or your relationship is connected. You know, it's one thing. Like this weekend, I had a great time. This a friend of mine. We've known each other for 35 years, and we can have very open, honest, frank discussions. And, about this or this. Well, I think you're taking that personally. And, it's like we can have those discussions and nobody takes offense.
That's the key thing, isn't it?
Well, maybe I am, and then she would say, well, maybe she is, she's, and her work dilemma and staff. And, I said, well, you're making it about you.
Yeah.
And she looked at me and frowned. She said, yeah, you're right. You can do that in depending again how the relationship is. I think that is a lot of it. And then how sensitive and engaging somebody's mood. If they're not in a good mood, it's not a good time to be critical.
Yeah.
So the reaction's not going to go well.
Timing is everything. Timing is everything. And Audra.
Audra say, yeah. You caught that too, Michael. Wouldn't it be amazing if people could just let go of that ego? Well, we need ego. That's just it. We function in a world where we need ego. It gives us a push.
Mm-hmm.
It gives us that sense of pride, that sense of self-care.
Sense of self.
Yeah, exactly.
Our personality.
Absolutely, Michael.
But,
so I think we need it, but we have to put it in check.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, balance. I don't think I've harped on balance too much. I think that I went through a stretch where everything I was talking about was balance this and balance that. But, it really is the key. No extremes, balance. Be open-minded, but grounded. Be, have an ego, but keep it in check. Understand that you have, a right to make yourself heard, but don't drown out everybody else's opinion. So it's always that balance, right?
Yeah. Audra's saying she always appreciates advice if it'll make life easier, but she's quote unquote, but I sometimes get annoyed by it, but I eventually appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
I know, because our pride, right?
It's
our
pride.
Ooh, somebody saw something dark about me.
Yeah, I know. And it's always, we're thinking we're the one person in all of human history that doesn't have flaws. I know.
I know.
I mean, Dr. Vicky says I have too many dogs. I don't know. I don't agree with her, but she keeps telling me that week after week. So I think that she's trying to give me some good advice, but.
I'm. Hey, far be it from me. I mean, you're talking to a lady who had 8 cats at one time and 100 chickens and ducks and geese and. It's just. I'm older, Michael. I find all those dogs would be exhausting.
It can be tiring, no doubt. I had my dog get out again, the landscapers, which, thank you for having landscapers so I don't have to go out in the heat and mow my own lawn first off. But also they didn't put the blocker back in front of the gate, so Charlie was able to push it open. And he went out for an excursion and cut to me in the middle of the road, making sure cars slow down as he passes between yards because he's too fast for me to catch. But eventually he gets tired. He comes back to the door after about 10 minutes, but stressful. But, so.
Jerry just asked, is my advice ever going to change anything you do?
Oh, no, not ever.
No, exactly. I know that.
Well, also, I was joking. You don't actually give me advice all the time about not having too many dogs. But, I might actually take on another foster, too. Not my first choice. Not my first choice. But the poor thing is in a high-kill shelter and had a rough go of it, but is a sweet, well-tempered dog, needs a good home, needs a shot at life. So if there is no other, I will be a temporary foster until we find a permanent.
Michael, you need a farm.
I do. I do. I need land.
Yeah, you need a farm. You're going to do all that.
And I need some kind of, I don't know. I think I need to have a harness tied to Charlie, tied to my person at all times, too, at that point. But, Dr. Kevin's throwing out, dogs are awfully quiet. Yeah, I think they can tell that I'm a bit tired. I think they're just going easy on me tonight.
Well, and Charlie knows that you're mad at him, so.
The thing is, I'm frustrated, but I'm not mad at him, and I'm thankful that he came back, and I'm just thankful that he didn't get hit by a car. Oh, the stress, seeing him bounce between yards without a care for the traffic. And it's not like my road's terribly busy, but, it's enough that, every couple of minutes there's a car coming down, and usually they're going a little too fast. So it's cut to me in the middle of the road, waving them down and, saying, pointing at the dog.
Dr. Jerry's just said, Michael, Wait till you get older in your 60s and 70s, and you'll see how valuable my advice is.
I'm sure there's going to be some kind of, I don't know, steroids or something. It's fine. I'm going to live to 150. I'm not going to put any effort into my self-care, and I'm going to have a lot of caffeine. So there you go.
Like Zach said, just out of room to the host.
Yeah, really? Yeah, the thing is, it doesn't matter how much space I have. The dogs all want to be around me anyway. I have a three-bedroom house, and they're always around me. They're always within a 10-foot radius of my person. So, but I love it. I love every minute of it.
So if we can backpedal just a little, and Dr. Zach has graciously written in the chat, you can't talk about the ego without talking about the shadow. It's the part of ourselves that we want to keep hidden that we don't want other people to see. But Carl Jung pointed out, if we do not consciously do the work on the shadow, we're projecting it out onto other people and situations so that we don't have to take accountability. True enough. Mm-hmm. And along the line here, Dr. Micah said, we might be referring to the superego, not the ego. Superego versus moral standards. Yeah.
It depends on which psychiatrist, psychologist, researcher you're talking about and which set of theories. They're not all compatible, but I think a lot of them are different perspectives on the same thing, which is the complex mind. I won't even say just human mind. I know that we have probably the most complex, but you see a lot of weird animal behavior, too, and it's hard to put a pin in it. But you know, absolutely right. And I think it's interesting to be well-read on these subjects, too. I remember, you know, touching base on them in different classes and it's like psychology and human growth and development and even in our coursework here. But it's interesting. It is such a vast and complex world.
There we go.
Yeah.
But tonight we were actually considering to start off this evening by selecting cards and we just never run out of things to talk about.
Oh, that's true. That's true. We said that a few times before in the last few weeks. Like, well, we'll just pull some cards and talk about those. But we get going.
So if anybody does want a card tonight, by all means, start putting your name in the chat. Audra says she just saw today that they'll be able to grow teeth within the next few years, pending medical trials.
That is very interesting. I saw that too, and. Which makes me feel better, because have you ever had one of those dreams where your teeth all fall out?
Yeah. Louise Hay might have something to say about that.
What's that?
Louise Hay, she believed that there's an essence attached to every part of the body or illness. And teeth, as I recall, because I haven't read the book for years and years, each one of the teeth represents an emotion or a psychology. So you can look that up, folks. It's actually interesting. I don't know how much truth there is to it, but I mean, some of it just makes sense. You know, what each kind of disorder represents within the psyche or the spirit. So look it up.
Yeah. And
Damien says, teeth falling out means death is near someone you care about.
That is interesting. I'll have to think back to when I had that dream. It's been a couple of times. Mm. But, by the way, Wendy, I saw your post. Your husky is the same. Yep, Charlie is a husky mix. The husky is strong with him. He's a digger. He's a runner. He doesn't listen. He's the last to come in. And he's a charming SOB, I'll tell you that much. But yeah, I feel your pain in that one. But thank you for the love the chat. And we got some cards coming up. And I know it's been going by fast. And I haven't been always paying the closest attention. But I think we hit some of the key points.
Oops. Yeah, we did.
And well, I hit the microphone.
We're going to start out with Dr. Jerry tonight. What have you got there in the inner oracle self-discovery cards for her, Michael?
Well, Dr. Jerry, for you tonight, I have number 19, Invoke the Counselor Within. There are times to seek advice from others as a means of summoning your own truth, but the answers you seek lie deep within. Look there. This may be a time to remind yourself not to codependently surrender your power to anyone or anything outside of yourself. Always determine your own truth and live according to the path that is right for you.
And I got the Five of Spades on this one, Jerry, the Five of Swords. Listening to yourself is how you will achieve your success. The Five of Spades, and if I have to condense it into, a simple phrase, is success. It's like achievement and the battle's over. So, everybody goes away and licks their wounds, but you're standing there and you're okay. So it's absolutely follow your own intuition, follow your own gut feeling, and you'll feel a sense of accomplishment. I'll leave it at that. Maybe even a little redemption.
I like the good redemption story.
Yeah, I love that. All right. We have Damien next.
Damien, for you, I have number 31, Sacred Obligations. A sacred obligation is a sacrosanct duty that any higher being would render for the highest good of all concerned. Sacred obligations include do no harm, do right, pay it forward, uphold individual value, value all life, extend tolerance and equality, control and change only what one is entitled to control and change, evolve and grow as a human being with higher awareness, promote knowledge, not fear, and more. Continue to aspire to your highest good by recognizing and fulfilling your sacred obligations.
Well, the Three of Clubs represents somebody looking into the future. Again, condensed version. Look, each of the cards or each of the symbols can mean a myriad of things, but I, try to make it really simple here. So that sacred obligation, how you move into the future, is simply living in good conscience. What can you live with? A lot of times I think facing life, little white lies, or omissions, but it's appropriate information and where it belongs. Nobody has to know your whole life story. So it's doing and acting, saying what you know you can live with in good conscience. It's simple as that, moving forward. Yep.
Well said. All right. Our good friend Dr. Zach, next. And for you tonight, I have number 4, wild card. Number 4, unknowable. There are mysteries in the universe. Not all can be known or predicted. A focus of deliberate intent can reveal valuable unforeseen knowledge for what lay ahead. Remember, we only see what we know and believe. The universe is unfolding in ways that are unknowable to your existing ways of thinking. Change your mind and you change your world. Change your mind and what was once unknowable may now be knowable. Listen to the subtle leadings and incitations of your higher self. What was once unknowable is now knowable. Remain flexible and open to change.
Well, Zach knows the tarot very well, as we all know, and he knows astrology, plug, plug. The Five of Hearts, Five of Cups, I take that as a moment of reflection, at looking at what you have, what you don't have, reviewing that and before you move forward. So, it's kind of a surprise that, the Moon card didn't come up because unknowable, it's like there's a mystery. Something is changing. You may even be able to feel it. So this is a moment just to take inventory, Zach. Oh, take a breath. See what you have, and the energy is going to take you forward. So I like it myself.
It's good
Always
stuff.
A good mystery.
All right. We have Dr. Jeff next, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
For you, I have number 6, boundaries. It's important for you to establish clear boundaries for yourself. Equally, it's necessary to be aware of others and to not overstep or encroach on their boundaries. This is a mark of a self-complete individual. Reassess and assertively protect your healthy boundaries while looking to see if you are overstepping elsewhere. Begin with asking yourself, who owns me?
You own you, Jeff. The Chariot. So, it might just be a moment of kind of sorting through things and deciding how you want to move forward. But boundaries, I associate boundaries with that. what you will do, what you won't do, how you participate, how you don't participate, what is your strength versus not your strength, you know, and finding that way to adjust. Wendy is saying that Zach had a noble back in January, and Jeff had the boundaries back just earlier this month. So I think it's just sorting through self, you know, and in relation to other people, dynamic, the world, you know, kind of sorting through that stuff a little bit, Jeff, as you move forward. The Chariot says you're in control of you. And so if you feel like you, for a moment, not, yeah, it's understandable. And then we just kind of bring it back to the middle. So we do have our card keeper, Wendy. So I'm going to say, usually in the middle of the year and the end of the year, Wendy does an assessment of kind of what's been repetitive. We bring her on the program, and she tells us if we can kind of look if there's any cycles or patterns to what we've been choosing.
She's always had a knack for finding those patterns.
I know. So for the first time, you know, at the end of last year, I looked back through all the tarot to see if I saw any kind of a pattern or repeating kinds of cards. But I have to tell you, Wendy, right now I can't do it, but we want you on the show, and you can give us your take on what you think the inner oracle cards are and those kinds of patterns. And I always say it because, like, I'm kind of swamped right now, and my focus is not great. But I'll be happy to do it at the end of the year for the entire year, as in regard to the tarot. So,
yeah, sounds good.
Yeah.
And just message me. We'll figure it out, Wendy. And we'll find a good time. All right. I think we have Dr. Kevin next.
You have Wendy. We've got Kevin in there? I didn't see it.
Pretty sure. Yeah, cool, refreshing card. I know, because that one really stuck with me, because I'm all about anything that's cool and refreshing these days.
All right. That's you, Kevin.
All right. I got your back. All right, let's see. Dr. Kevin, for you, I have number 33, preference over principle. A mark of knowledge and wisdom is knowing when and how to offer an opinion or voice a complaint. If it is a matter of preference, yield. If it is a matter of principle, policy, or law, stand firm. It's important to know when and where to pick your battles. Be selective regarding the areas in which you invest your energy.
The first card I got was the Ten of Spades, which I said, what is that about? And because very often the Ten of Spades is about grief or sadness, kind of, you know, grieving something, or you maybe, look, it could be as simple as you wish somebody had done something different than they did, and it makes you sad. But so the second card I drew was the Two of Diamonds, which is all about balance. So I guess a preference principle, it's kind of discerning it, and sometimes we just have to stay out of the way of other people's path. And I hope that makes sense to you, Kevin, because that's what I get from that. All right. And I guess you had preference principle back in March, so that's three tonight.
Yeah, getting some repeats.
All right.
Let's see if we can do a four-peat. Wendy, our card keeper for you. And we go to what's wild card number 9, blank. Let's see. Wild card number 9, blank. Drawing this card puts you on notice to dig deep within for the answers you seek. This card is what you want it to be. It's what you need it to be. And it's all that you desire it to be. Remember that the unconscious mind speaks to you in the quietest of voices, in the loudest of ways, often overlooked. The universe is always on your side. Dig deep, for your answers lay within.
Well, you might be feeling a little bit of stress yourself there, Wendy. The Ten of Clubs. Oh, the challenges of the burdens we carry to get to our destination. And so, blank card is, again, there's a mystery. There's all kinds of possibilities. I love the blank card. This is just saying you have to persevere. And I really feel like you're about to turn a corner in, I know it sounds hokey, but the good luck era. So, because, you know, I know that a lot of other things have happened to you. So, this, it's like you're getting there. You're inching along and you're getting there. It's like the goal is right in sight. So, hang in.
Good stuff.
All right. Zoran.
All right. And for you, I have number 29, Pay It Forward. Living with gratitude and responsibility extends generosity to others, even with random acts of kindness that offer no self-benefit except the satisfaction of heartfelt kindness. This may be a time to calm the spirit and lift the heart by giving forward, without any particular reason, reminding yourself that love is the center of all life. Is there a way that you can pay it forward right now?
Well, when you have the judgment card, it's kind of like an announcement. An announcement of some kind. It could be an announcement to you or you making an announcement in some way. That paying it forward, that energy that you've been working on and changing, Zoran, I hope I'm not overstepping by saying that, but it's starting to, as they say, pay off. Like good deeds bring good deeds. Well, maybe not in traffic, but I'm just saying that it's like an announcement is going to help you move forward and keep that energy flowing, you know, that moving forward. So I like that. That's an affirmation to you. It's keep going.
All right.
We have Audra, I think, next.
Mm-hmm. And Audra, you get number 17, Reinvention. I think we pulled this one a little bit recently, too. Let's see, number 17, reinvention. Nothing is more powerful or transformative than self-reinvention, resulting in a personal identity foundation shift. Far-reaching and profound, such a personal reinvention shifts the foundation of your self-concept from external to internal, which, in turn, is vital to your future success and happiness. Re-examine your core values, ensuring they are healthy. Answer the questions, what do I call a good day? And what else in my life should be reinvented?
When I pulled the Emperor, I had a little puzzle in my head, you know, thinking, I wonder if that's within Audra or outside. And I'm going to go with this. As you have been reinventing yourself, Audra, and getting that self-certainty, confidence, and moving through, you know, some of your changes, somebody here is going to recognize that. Somebody in a position of authority, management, supervisor, something, going to recognize that in you and how you're now going to leap forward in this continued reinvention of yourself. So I think that's really cool.
All right.
And now, Audra's mom is Naomi. And I think this would be an appropriate time. See what we have for Naomi.
I'm with you on that. And Naomi, for you, I have number 11, awareness. Every human being has a responsibility to increase their awareness for fulfillment and peaceful coexistence. People generally do the best they can according to their current level of awareness, knowledge, experience, and resources. This card may indicate that an increased awareness in some area is needed. Continue to increase your awareness of self and others through observation, acquired knowledge, and a positive attitude.
Well, I drew two cards, Naomi. And the first one, the Five of Clubs, oh, really the hard stuff is over. That's what I want to say to that. So in this new awareness of self, the hardest work or the greatest challenges are behind you. So it's like this other card shows up, the Three of Diamonds, Three of Pentacles. That's faith. It's about having faith, having hope, that place within yourself that I know, it's like that, oh, without hope, Michael, we have nothing, right? So it's within the spirit, within our inner self. So I think that some realizations lately, perhaps, Naomi, and how you're going to be okay. That's what I want to say to you. You're going to be okay.
Good message.
Yeah. Tanner.
All right, Tanner. Glad to have you. Tanner, for you, I have number 39, education. Continual education is the key to individual and collective consciousness and personal success. Commit yourself to lifelong learning, educating yourself continually. If you don't know something, first look for the answers yourself, then ask if necessary. Gain education and advice through various sources, including people, but always strive to find your own answers. Look for lessons in life experience, situations, and circumstances. Make it your adage to listen, think, learn, grow, and live.
Well, I pulled lovers. Now, lovers doesn't necessarily mean intimacy. It means passion. It means energy. It means what excites you. And education with passion, it's like following your sense of really what incites that joy in you, Tanner. And just keep learning about what it is. I don't know, I'm kind of getting confused in, it's like what you're already learning and what you want to learn. And I think it's twofold. So you're learning this much, but you want to go learn that too. So don't take off more than you can chew for a minute, but just know it's there and keep following that, because that, follow your passion. Simple. Whether other people like it or not. That's all there is. The end of the day, Tanner, follow your passion.
Good advice. And I think our last card of the evening is Dr. Edward. Do I have that right?
Yeah.
All right.
That's what I have.
For you, I have number 9, empowerment. Let's see. I just had it open. I lost it. There we are. Taking your power back is literally all-powerful and absolutely priceless. It alone is the solution in principle for virtually every problematic circumstance in your life, from a bad relationship to spiritual harassment. Retaining your power means to retain your wholeness. When you are whole, you are empowered. Empower others by doing no harm and doing right. Sharing the best of yourself is encouraging and uplifting to yourself and others.
And the 6 clubs, the cause for celebration, Edward. It could be in overcoming something. It could be achieving something for yourself. Oh, and Wendy said that you had that back in January. So that's a repeat. Whoa, we've had a few of them tonight, Michael. But I think with empowerment and the 6 of clubs, it's giving you that sense of gratification. Something has occurred or is occurring that, whew, that feels good, a cause for celebration. You know, it's kind of when I see people clicking their glasses or, see little balloons, I see kind of like a party in my head. And so I think that my sense is that's kind of already happening. Not that it's necessarily coming, but it's happening, and it's very close. So that I love empowerment, where you feel just darn good about yourself, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's such a key thing about life, isn't it?
Well, and Audra has a good idea for next week. Reinventing is a great theme for the week in next week's program. I love that idea. How would you take steps to reinvent yourself?
How I think it's a good topic.
It's
a good topic. You know, I first read it as I thought it was the theme for her week, but I'm going to take it as a great topic because that is a wonderful idea. I don't know why it didn't occur to me when she put it in chat.
This way, no pressure on Wendy.
Yeah.
Give her an extra week. So the week after, we'll have Wendy on. We love having Wendy
on. Yeah. And don't worry, we'll add extra pressure to have you on the week after, so to make up for it.
So, but let's, how, how do we reinvent ourselves?
That's a multifaceted question. That's good for an hour, right?
In this world, it takes a lot of courage.
Yeah.
And honesty.
Absolutely. So, and that's a tough one, especially with the self.
Yeah. Well, boy, it goes by fast, Michael. Whew.
It does. It does. So it's been a good conversation. It's been a good night. Thank you, everybody, for joining us and being here with us. But it is that time of the evening, and going to wrap it up and enjoy this warm, balmy summer evening. But Dr. Vicky, any last thoughts before we sign off?
Don't let them push you around out there, folks.
Good advice.
Just mosey along. Never mind. And when I went driving, when I had some errands to run today, and I went to my daughter's work and had lunch with her, and I'm watching these drivers, and I'm saying, oh, take a breath, Vicky. Never mind. Something's in the air. Never mind. It's like, darting out in front of me or running yellow lights. Or, and I went, whoa, this is not a day to be driving.
Wait.
And about an hour later, a huge storm blew through. So I thought, oh, maybe people were picking up on all the barometric pressure. I don't know. Great.
Wait, do you not go through yellow lights?
No. Well, I told my granddaughter last week, you didn't see that.
Well, I mean, it's not like it's on a red light. I mean,
and I went through yellow,
Well,
You know what I mean, Mike.
I gotcha. Well, again, thank you very much for that. Thank you, everybody, for your contributions. Dr. Zach, I saw your post. We're going to get you on here maybe in the next couple weeks if we can fit it in. I think Wendy, we're going to check in with you. Audra, thank you for the suggestion. And, yeah, it's been a wonderful evening. So thank you, everybody. We're looking forward to seeing you next week. And I'm sorry, Dr. Vicky, were you going to say something? Did I cut you off?
No, not a bit.
All right. Well, then, until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.